Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. I know that your English will improve today. My name is Rebecca. Do you consider yourself a creative person? Of course. Everyone is creative in their own special way. So, what ways are you a creative person? Well, I would definitely consider Thomas Edison a very creative person. But you already know that because we started discussing him yesterday. Well, today we're going to continue talking about Edison in a lesson called The Story of Thomas Edison. Creativity is a gift and is something that should be encouraged. So here's a few questions I want you to try to answer throughout today's lesson. First, what job did Edison get when he was 12? And what job did Edison get when he was 16? Was it the same job? I guess, friends, you will find out in today's lesson. So, what are we waiting for? Let's begin.
The Story of Thomas Edison. At 12, Tom heard about a job on a train selling candy, newspapers, and sandwiches. His father agreed, and so it was settled. 2 days later, Tom was at the station to begin his job. Before long, Tom set up a laboratory in the train's baggage car. When his work was finished, he would experiment. At 16, he got his first real job as a night telegraph operator and station agent. But Tom could never hold a job very long. He was either too tired from studying or too busy experimenting to do his job.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们看 laboratory 这个名词。所以 这里的B 后面的O 几乎没有声音，念成 laboratory， L-A-B-O-R 这个字根有辛勤工作的意思， 所以 laboratory 是指实验室 或者是研究室。 例如 laboratory tests show that this new medicine has severe side effects， 研究室的实验显示这个新药有严重的副作用。 laboratory 也可以简称为 lab， L-A-B， 例如 these engineers spent months in the computer lab trying to solve the bugs in the software. 这些工程师花了几个月的时间待在电脑研究室里面试着解决这个软体的瑕疵。继续我们看的是 telegraph operator 这个名词， T-E-L-E 这个字首有遥远的意思， G-R-A-P-H 这个字根有书写的意思， 所以 telegraph 就是指电报， operator 是指接线生， 所以加在一起 telegraph operator 就是指电报员或者是报务员。 例如 the telegraph operator is fluent in Morse code， 这位电报员非常熟悉摩斯密码。 或者是 many women worked as telegraph operators back in the Civil War， 许多女性在美国南北战争时担任电报员的工作。
Well, here we are again, learning about Thomas Edison, young Tom Edison, who even at the ages of 12 and 16 was already beginning to experiment with things, and I think he was interested in science.
Oh, well, I think that he definitely was.
Yeah, he had his own experiments already going. At the age of 12, Tom heard about a job on a train selling candy. Okay, that's not the experiment. That's very normal for a kid. And he also sold newspapers and sandwiches.
Hey, Gabe, yes. That's the answer to my very first question. At the age of 12, he found out about this job selling candy, newspapers, and sandwiches.
Very nice. I hope you guys got that. Now we continue. His father agreed, and so it was settled. And 2 days later, Tom was at the station to begin his job. But if something is settled, that means people are talking about something, they're discussing, and they come to an agreement so they could say, it's settled. Let's do this.
Exactly. So let's say, for example, you and your friends are discussing what movie that you want to go to. You know, something, I really want to go see a funny movie, like a comedy.
I like action movies, Rebecca.
But I really like dramas, and definitely not science fiction.
Well, why don't we see an action movie that is funny?
Hey, that's a great idea.
All right.
Well, then it's settled.
Let's
go.
We could say, that settles it. We're going to see an action comedy.
That's right. Okay, so at the beginning of our lesson, we saw the number 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys in the info cloud want to talk about the origins of numbers.
Well, let's do that. Let's go see Steve and Ken in the info cloud.
When we count in English, after 10, we run into 11 and 12. Now, why does English have these two unusual words?
Right. In their place should be words like first team and second team, before continuing on with the other teen words, 13, 14, 15, 16, and so on, right?
That would make more sense. For an answer, let's go back and visit one of English's ancestors, Old Germanic language. In this language, 11 was pronounced einlief, which meant one left. In other words, one remaining after counting 10.
12 in Old Germanic was twalif, or two remaining after counting 10. Only Germanic-based languages like English, Danish, and Dutch have these two quirky numbers. The European Latin-based languages like Italian and Spanish do not.
Okay, but now the question is, why did the leaf suffix stop at 12? Why doesn't English have three leaf, four leaf, and so on?
Well, we're not exactly sure, though some speculate it was because 12 was as high as most common people needed to count. Before modern man began thinking in sets of 10, as we do in the metric system, people thought mostly in sets of 12, like we do when telling time.
不知道你有没有想过，为什么英文的11跟12叫做11跟12？ 既然13、14、15叫做13、14、15，那11跟12照理说就应该是first team、second team，不是吗？要知道答案，我们必须来看英语的祖先古日耳曼语。在日耳曼语11就叫做einlief，字面上是one left，剩下一个，也就是说拿掉10个之后还剩下一个的那个数字。 12在日耳曼语叫做twalif，就是two left， 还剩下两个的那个数字。但为什么问题又来了？为什么12之后又改为teen，13，14，15？ 正确的答案没有人知道，但很可能是因为古人并不是采用我们今天的十进位，而是十二进位。 一年有12个月，时钟上有12个小时，因此古人是很注重12这个数字，但12以后的数字就没有那么重要了，因此呢，就另外归类变成13、14、15。这就是今天的info cloud，我们下次云端见。Einlief
and twalif. What fun words. Thanks again, guys. Well, we continue here. Before long, Tom set up a laboratory in the train's baggage car. He's 12 years old, and he's setting up a laboratory in the baggage car of a train. I hope he doesn't burn down any baggages, any suitcases.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't burn up any baggage or suitcases or anything of that nature. All I can say is that Tom loves to experiment. I think he likes to keep his hands busy. He likes to take things apart. He likes to put things together. And he likes to see how things work.
Exactly. So I'm sure the laboratory didn't look quite like the one you just saw in the picture. However, it was his own little kind of laboratory where he experimented on things. Now, when his work was finished, he would experiment. And what happened at 16, Rebecca?
Let's see it.
Did you have a question about 16?
Yes. Yes. This is the answer to question number two. So pay very close attention. At 16, he got his first real job as a night telegraph operator and station agent. There you have it. So first he was selling candy, newspapers, and sandwiches, and now he's a night telegraph operator.
Now, I have not personally met any telegraph operators before. However, this was a very common job back in the day as far as communications goes. And this is a telegraph machine, an old telegraph machine. Maybe you've seen pictures of this before, or people operating the telegraph machine, pushing that little button. Well, friends, we continue here that Tom could never hold a job very long. He was either too tired from studying or too busy experimenting to do his job. So no matter what job he had, it seemed like he was always more interested in experimenting than doing what he needed to do on the job.
Now let's talk about what it means to hold a job. If you hold a job, I mean, obviously you're not holding a job in your hand. This just means that you are keeping a job. So you stay at a company for a certain period of time. But we already learned that Tom was not able to keep his job very long. Here's another example. Oh, I'm so proud of little Johnny. He has actually held his current job for 3 months.
Well, little Johnny.
Yeah, little Johnny.
How old is he? Like 11?
Yeah.
Oh, very little Johnny.
Yeah,
okay.
Very little Johnny.
Very young to be working. Well, you know what? I have some friends who have a hard time holding jobs because, well, there are different reasons why people might not hold a job for very long. Maybe they come late to work too often. Maybe they're too lazy. My friend, for some reason, just decides it's okay to not even go to his job. All right, so these are not good things to do, and they might make you lose your job, but you want to hold your job, especially if it's a good job.
Exactly. Well, friends, we have more for you, so make sure you stay. Welcome back to Studio Classroom, where we are talking about Thomas Edison. Now, we've already learned that at the age of 12, Thomas started his first job selling candy and newspapers and all kinds of little goodies. And then at the age of 16, he got his first official job. But we also learned that he wasn't able to hold a job very long. He just enjoyed experimenting and doing all kinds of fun things with experiments. Well, we have more to learn about Thomas Edison, so let's continue with our next reading.
The story of Thomas Edison. So Tom decided to spend more time inventing things. He was stubborn, independent, and hardworking. Some of Tom's inventions began to be noticed. Then Tom happened to be in New York at the Gold Exchange when an important machine broke down. Tom stepped in, and in an hour or two, he had the machine running perfectly. In the following months, Tom invented a way to improve the machine. The company paid him $40,000 for his invention. "I'm going into business for myself," said Tom.
OK, 接下来我们看的是 stubborn 这个形容词。stubborn 在这里是指顽强的或者是有决心的。例如 Patrick's stubborn determination and hard work made him the great athlete he is today.Patrick 坚强的决心跟努力让他能够今天成为一位伟大的运动员。Stubborn 也指顽固的。例如 Ray refuses to be a stubborn old man. He's willing to try new things. Ray 拒绝当一个食古不化的老先生，他愿意尝试新的东西。最后我们看的是 step in 这个片语。 step 本来是指踩或踏，但是 step in 在这里是指介入、插手或者是干涉，来解决问题或停止争端。所以 step 的过去式、过去分词还有现在分词都要重复字尾的 p 再加上 ed 或 ing。例如 ，When Martha was too weak to take care of her kids after her surgery, her parents stepped in to help out. 当 Martha 手术过后过于衰弱，没有办法照顾孩子的时候，她的父母亲就进来帮忙了。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Thanks so much, Michelle. Well, we read on here. So Tom decided to spend more time inventing things. He was stubborn, independent, and hardworking.He couldn't hold a job, but that didn't stop him from being a hard-working person. He just loved to work on other things.
Mm-hmm. And he was very independent. Well, we read here, some of Tom's inventions began to be noticed. Then, Tom happened to be in New York at the Gold Exchange when an important machine broke down. Now, let's talk about that phrase, to break down. If a machine breaks down...That just means that it stops working. But machines aren't the only things that can actually break down.
Oh, no. This actually makes me think of cars, because I probably use this phrase most when I'm talking about a car that breaks down. Maybe you're driving on the freeway. For some reason, it stops working. You have to pull over to the side of the road. Perhaps your car...broke down. Has that ever happened to you before?
Oh, well, you know, Gabe, speaking of cars breaking down, yes, that has happened to me. I have a story. As a kid, we actually had a lot of car problems, and a lot of our cars would break down. But there's this one time in particular. We're driving along. We're in the middle of an intersection.
That's dangerous.
That's very dangerous, you know, and all of a sudden...The car breaks down right in the middle of the intersection. So me and my brothers and sisters, there was three of us in the car. We had to get out of the car and push the car out of the intersection to the side of the road.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So your dad was behind the wheel?
Well, my dad wasn't in the car. See, that's the funny thing. Now, this is so funny. The car never seemed to break down when my dad was in the car.
Oh.
Only when my mom was in the car. So we would tell my dad, hey, Dad, you know, the car keeps breaking down. And he would drive the car and say, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with the car.
It's almost like he had a magic touch. When he was around, nothing would happen. But if he's not there, the car breaks down.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, I've certainly been in cars that have broken down before, too. And it can be kind of annoying and costly to try to fix your car when it breaks down. And I'm sure this...situation was costly as well. This very important machine in New York broke down, but we read that Tom stepped in, and in an hour or two, he had the machine running perfectly. Wow, that's a really short amount of time to get a big machine to run perfectly, but Tom knew how to figure it out.
Well, I think that all of those hours that he spent taking toys apart and putting them back together...probably played a very important role in his ability to fix this machine within an hour or two. Anyway, we read, in the following months, Tom invented a way to improve the machine. And this is really cool. We learn the company paid him $40,000 for his invention.
Rebecca?
Wait, yes, Gabe?
How would you like to be paid $40,000for something that you invented?
$40,000?
$40,000?
I mean, obviously, Gabe, I would love that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, especially if I'm doing the very thing that I love to do.
And think about this.
Mm-hmm, I'm thinking.
Okay, $40,000 that many years ago, that long ago, it's actually equivalent to not $70,000, but $700,000 today. So in a sense, if you invented something like this today, you would get closer to $1 million.Than just $40,000.
Whoa!
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I'm doing here. I should start inventing stuff.
Well,
I can make a lot of money,
yeah.
And I could even go into business for myself, just like Tom Edison says.
I think you need to go to New York and maybe start fixing some machines on Wall Street or something. Maybe you can start making your million that way.
Well, let me tell you one thing's for sure. If your machine breaks down, you don't want me to fix your machine because I don't have that magical touch.
Maybe your dad. Maybe if your dad's around, he could help fix something that broke down. And, of course, Thomas Edison was great at doing this. And we see that he's going to go into business for himself. He realized he's really good at inventing things. Maybe he could even make money just inventing things.
Hey, Gabe, here's a quiz for you.
Huh?
If someone wants to go into business for themselves, they want to start their own business and
yes,
they have all these new ideas. Do we have a name for that type of person?
Oh, oui, I believe this is a kind of a French word. It comes from French for someone who wants to start their own business, an entrepreneur, is there?
Bingo! That is correct, Gabe. You guessed the right word. Entrepreneur.
Well, this is kind of a fun word.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a fun word. And actually, the idea here is, it has to do with business. And the idea here is that you're the one who organizes or manages your business, and that you take responsibility for the risk that is involved as well. Okay, so you really are starting your own business if you're an entrepreneur.
Exactly. Okay, well, right now, it's time for us to review today's lesson with something funny. The review skit.
Ah, good.
Oh, yes.
Really? Mother, I have some important news.
You're going to start a new job.
Well, yes. How did you know?
Because you can never hold an old job.
Well,
your first job at 12 selling candy on the train. I remember that.
Yes, I set up a laboratory in the train and experimented after work.
And when you were 16, you got a job as a night telegraph officer.
That was my first real job, but I was tired from studying and couldn't finish my work.
Or too tired from experimenting.
Well, now I plan to spend my time inventing things.
Thomas, you are so stubborn and independent.
And hardworking.
Yes, but can you really be an inventor?
Mother, my inventions are being noticed.
Oh, really?
Yes. One day, I was in the New York Gold Exchange, and a machine broke down. I stepped in.
And fixed it?
Yes. In a short time, it was running perfectly.
Well, that's nice, Thomas, but...
Then I invented a way to improve the machine.
That's nice, but did they pay you?
Yes. $40,000!
$40,000? Oh, Thomas, you should go into business for yourself.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
$40,000!
Oh, wow. Okay, friends, that is all the time we have for today's lesson. Make sure you review what you learned today.
But don't worry, we have more for you about Thomas Edison tomorrow, right here on
Studio Classroom.
So come.